Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. I also would like to thank Speaker for organizing this series of briefings and all the Senate and House sponsors of the event. I also hope that all of you know that the Institute for Women's Policy Research, which is now going on 20 years old, provides research and information on a variety of issues that come before Congress, including work and family issues, of course, that we're discussing today, but also issues like poverty, welfare, equal pay, health care, and so on. We have a very large website, and all our publications can be downloaded for free. And if you can't find what you need on the website, you can call us, and we'll try to find the information that you need. I want to focus my remarks today on one proposed bill that has been introduced into Congress, the Healthy Families Act, which does provide for paid sick leave of up to 7 days per year for all workers, and one can use the sick leave for family care as well as one's own illness, and also for routine doctor's visits and for dental health care, which often for workers who have 6 days time to be covered. So the Healthy Families Act is what I want to focus on, because I think it's a good example of how the lowest paid workers are exactly the ones that don't have what we think of as basic benefits, and how taking the high road rather than the low road, as Eileen discussed, is actually something that would be good for the economy and would even help employers. So we have a situation where many employers aren't providing paid sick leave, and it's actually costing them money, although they don't know that. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'd like to make three major points about the paid sick leave bill, as I mentioned, known as the Healthy Families Act. It's been proposed in two congressional sessions now, I believe, and that will surely be proposed in the next session as well. While the unpaid family medical leave act took us almost 10 years, we're hoping for less time for the paid sick leave bill, the Healthy Families Act. First, I guess I would just emphasize that having paid sick leave is the most basic work and family right that you could possibly have, and it is one that also many workers lack, and we'll turn to some data on that. Second point that I'm going to make is that even if you have paid sick leave, you more than likely can't use it for preventive health care or caring for sick family members. And the third point is that providing a reasonable amount of paid sick leave doesn't cost employers all that much, a mere $20 billion, but we'll go into the details. And even that estimate is outweighed by the estimated cost savings that employers would experience because of reduced turnover. There would also be reduced spread of illness to other workers. But turnover is actually the biggest cost savings they would experience. You should all have the handout. It's a red fact sheet. It's a news release. It's red and black. If you have in the black fact that we hold yourself so everyone can see it, that's what you should have one of. If you don't have it, share with your neighbor or raise your hand and we'll try to get one. Let's take a look at figure two in your handout on how many people lack this basic benefit. Nearly half of American workers lack the right to even a single day of paid sick leave. For private sector workers, it's only about 45% of that paid sick leave, which you can see in figure two. And for part-time workers, it's only 15% that have it. And one of the amazing things about this number is that it took us so long for this number to get our attention. When people come visit you from other countries, what are the things you're always amazed about the U.S.? Well, we don't have universal health care, first point. Second point, I can't believe middle-class parents are spending all this money to send their kids to college. That's the second point. I get that higher than three kids that all went to private college. Third point, if they get that far, you don't have paid sick leave. There's no law requiring paid sick leave. If you're sick, if you don't have it, you just what? Hope you have some savings. They can't understand it. That's all wrapped up in their national health insurance program, their national retirement program, their national unemployment insurance program. It includes paid sick leave. So it took us a long time, I think, as a group of people working on the issues to realize how bad this problem was. Part of the problem might be that since 1986, coverage has actually been falling. It's fallen in our full report, you can take a look at it. 70% of private, medium, and large-sized firms used to provide paid sick leave. By 1997, that had fallen to 55%, even for medium and large-sized firms. Turning to table two, one of my favorite facts is you can look at the rate of coverage in different industries and see that the industries with the most personal contact with you as a customer is abysmally low. The retail trade, 50% have no paid sick leave. In entertainment and recreation, 60% have no paid sick leave. In miscellaneous service industries, which includes child care and beauty salons, 69% don't have paid sick leave. And in food service, my very favorite, 86% of workers don't have paid sick leave. So this means that every time that a weight person is coughing, they're coughing on your boot. These are all industries that serve the public or work closely with our most vulnerable populations, such as children and even the elderly. Nursing homes also don't provide a lot of paid sick leave to their workers. And the important point as an economist is to remember that those employers who are not currently providing paid sick days are imposing costs on all the rest of us. And it's time that they pay their fair share. And when they do, our economy will actually experience some net productivity gains. Before turning on to the cost and benefit estimates, I do want to talk about the uses of paid sick leave. And you can see this in the next table in the handout, right under the one we've just been talking about, shows that you can't use the paid sick leave that you do have for preventive health services or taking care of sick family members. In fact, only about 30% of workers who actually have paid sick leave can use it to go to a doctor or to take care of a sick family member. So that means about a sixth of all workers have any access to paid sick leave that they can use for those purposes. And if you look at figure 4, it's exactly the lowest paid workers, as I mentioned, who have the least right to use that sick leave for family care. Only 10% of low-wage workers can use their paid sick days to take care of their own children. Now, I want to turn now to my final topic, the cost to business of providing a modest amount of paid sick leave, and point out that they are overweight by the estimated benefits. This is in the last table in a handout, table 1. And we estimate that for each covered worker, it will cost employers $5.98 per week to give this new paid sick leave benefit, or about $1.20 per covered worker per workday, per 5 days per week. So that is fairly low. The gain and the benefits that the businesses would get for this are $8.38 a week. Now, the benefits outweigh the cost. The benefits mainly come from reduced turnover. They also come from eliminating low productivity when fixed workers actually try to go to work. And in case you didn't know, there's a name for that. It's called presenteeism. And I personally am often guilty of presenteeism. And you insist on going to work when you're sick, it's constant. And I don't do it because I don't have to pay sick days. I do it because, you know, I think I'm indispensable. Not only am I indispensable, you should stay home and not make other people sick. But so many workers without paid sick leave, for them, that choice is a very difficult one. So it's mainly from reducing turnover. Workers who have paid sick days do not leave their jobs as much. They're also not forced to work because they have the right to take a day off and come back. And it is also from eliminating the low productivity of people like me who come to work even when we're sick, and it's from reducing the spread of the flu. Now, there's an additional societal benefit of reduced nursing home days that we were able to estimate because if you're able to take off a little bit of time and attend to a working parent, an elder parent, you will take have a that parent in nursing homes in fewer days. So this is all in table 1. Economy-wide, the cost is $20.2 billion per year, and the benefits are $28.4 billion per year. When we say that the benefits outweigh the cost, what we're saying is that it's more economically efficient for us to make a change. If we pass this law, employers will be forced to provide paid sick days that will reduce turnover costs to them, and they will actually have the net benefit. That it will be cheaper for society as a whole to pass this law than it would be to continue the way we have it now, which is with no paid sick days for half of our workers and consequently high turnover for those workers. Just to talk about how many workers benefit, it's 65.8 million workers. 46 million will get coverage who don't have any now, and 19 million will be able to use it for either more days or more uses. Some workers who have paid sick leave have only 1 or 2 days a year. This would improve it to 7. Where does the low cost come from? It comes from the reality that most workers don't take off much time for illnesses in a given year. Would anyone care to guess what the most common number of days taken off for illnesses in a given year by all workers. Yeah. Most common number of days taken off? Zero. That is the most common number of days taken off. Zero. When workers do have paid sick leave, and if you cap it at 7 days, which we would still in terms of payments that's required, workers take off an average of 1.8. Workers who don't have any paid sick leave at all take off 1.3 days. That's half a day extra that this bill would allow people to take off. In other words, if you don't have any paid sick leave, you really don't minimize it. If you have some paid sick leave, sure, you're going to take off more. And employers out there are going to tell you, we're going to take off millions of days. A half a day for workers. That's the amount of extra sick leave time that people will take because it will now be paid. And that partly accounts for the relatively low cost of $20 billion. If $20 billion doesn't sound like a low number to you, remember that our GNP, which I could not keep up with last time I looked, was $13 billion. It's probably much higher now. $13 trillion is probably much higher now. But when we did these numbers in 2003, it was 0.3% of total payroll costs. So 0.3%, that $1.20 a day, that 0.3% of total payroll costs in the U.S. economy overall. So $20 billion might sound like a big number of costs, but it's actually fairly small for such an important worker benefit. Just in conclusion, then, I would say that everyone benefits from paid sick leave. It is truly an example of a win-win situation. Employers benefit because the turnover cost falls. Unproductive workers stay home, don't affect others. Workers benefit because they don't lose income and they can take off time when they need to. Children will benefit from better care because their parents will be able to take care of them. Taxpayers will benefit from less nursing home care. And customers, like us, will benefit from less spread of illness in restaurants and hotels among other places. There are also many benefits we couldn't measure. There's not really enough data out there. We were able to measure the spread of the flu, but there isn't a lot of data out there on the spread of other communicable diseases to co-workers and customers. We weren't able to get an estimate of faster recuperation, better health outcomes. Reduced public assistance, we could only look at nursing homes, we couldn't look at reduced welfare payments and other things because people won't lose their jobs. And of course, increased financial stability of families, what is the value of that? We really don't have a good way of measuring that too. So again, on the bottom line, it's a win-win. It's economically efficient, and that means that passing something like the Healthy Families Act would actually improve productivity in the economy overall. I would just like to say that it's not always that you can say that something that's morally right is also good business and good for businesses, but this is one case. Thank you.